Movie, film, 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 film,
Film.
It's the podcast where we pick flicks and decide if they're movies or films.
Yeah.
Like the song said. And I'm Nate, and if there's any kind of magic in this world, it must be in the attempt of understanding someone sharing something. I know it's almost impossible to succeed, but who cares really? The answer must be in the attempt.
And I'm Terrell, and it's a trap, you know? When you're a kid, you see the life you want, and it never crosses your mind that it's never going to turn out that way. Mine's is Love and Basketball.
Ah, love that one.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have guessed it, yeah. So I'm glad you spared me.
Yeah.
Do you know mine?
No.
Mine is Before Sunrise.
Oh, well, then, yeah, I know it.
But also, it's a quote about how the attempt is important, because today we're talking about the sequel to Before Sunrise, Before Sunset. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea how we're going to do this, but yeah. We're going to attempt it.
We're going to attempt to do it. Talk about
conversation. This is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. This trilogy, it's my favorite trilogy of all time.
Ooh.
I don't love a lot of trilogies, though.
Right.
Lord of the Rings is probably second place. I picked it.
Yeah, why did you pick it?
Well, rather, I'd say this. It's one of my favorite things, mm-hmm. one of my favorite movies or films. But I didn't pick it for 122 episodes, because how the heck do you do an episode on this?
Right.
I did pick it because how else was I going to get you to watch them?
Right. You did it. You sucked me in. I'm into it. Why the sequel and not the first one?
If I feel like this one will be easier to talk about.
Okay.
Because there's more of the meta text happening between, like, the conversation between this movie and the one that came before.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about how it works that way, how it fits together.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's shorter. Mm-hmm. The first one, like, both movies are just conversations, but there's more conversation in the first
one.
There's
a lot more.
The first one's a lot more philosophical.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just say, and that's deep to mm-hmm. everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about this, and it's deep, mm-hmm. and it's romantic. And also, by picking this one, it's kind of both.
It's kind of,
because we can't talk about this without talking about the other
first one. Yeah, because yeah.
I could have picked the third one, but that it's not my favorite of the three.
Okay. We'll get there.
Yeah. All right, let's hear the trailer for Before Sunset.
9 years ago, two strangers met by chance and spent a night in Vienna that ended before sunrise. They're about to meet for the first time since.
Hi.
Hello.
I can't believe you're here.
Well, I live here in Paris.
I wanted to talk to you for so long, you know, then now...
Me too. How long do we have? 20 minutes and 30 seconds?
No,
Let's go.
No, we got more than that.
Now they have one afternoon to find out if they belong together.
I remember that night better than I do entire years.
Do I look any different? I do.
I'd have to see you naked.
What? No!
Come here. Let's get on that boat. Come on, it'll be fun.
You don't have time.
Oh, God, why don't we exchange phone numbers and stuff? Why don't we do that?
Past is the past. It was meant to be that way.
What? You really believe that? I have these dreams. I'm in the car, and a buddy of mine is driving me downtown, and I'm staring out the window, and I think I see you.
What does it mean, the right man? The love of your life? The concept is absurd. The idea that we can only be complete with another person is evil, right?
I'm just happy to see you, even if you've become an angry, manic, depressive activist. I still like you. I still enjoy being around you.
Like, if somebody were to touch me, I would dissolve into molecules.
I want to see if you stay together or if you dissolve into molecules.
How am I doing?
What if you had a second chance with the one that got away? Before Sunset.
Before Sunset is a 2004 American romantic drama directed by Richard Linklater, who co-wrote the screenplay with Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy, who play the two leads. Mm-hmm. From a story by Linklater and Kim Krizan, his co-writer for the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us wonderfully into our beloved segment, Crew Love, in which I point out crew members on this picture that worked on other pictures that we already discussed on this podcast. Check out these episodes. And I love when we get to do independent film. I'll call it independent film.
Okay.
I'm not going to say independent pictures, but I like when we do indies because it just reminds you how like different productions are. Because the sound guys that just work on independent films, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Wayne Bell, who did sound on this, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 74.
What that's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
The dude doing all those chainsaw sounds.
Yeah.
Did the noise of like the birds and the guy playing accordion as they walk by.
And the footsteps and the guy running across the screen. Yeah.
Okay. Letterboxd only says sound, so I don't actually know if he was like a mixer or a gaffer. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Also, Larry Blake worked on Contagion.
Okay.
Steven Soderbergh and Richard Linklater, two big figures in 90s. American independence film. And this guy worked with both of them.
Nice.
That's the crew.
Crew love.
We love them.
Yeah.
So let's begin, right?
Yeah.
I like how this one begins like as a mirror to the ending of the first one with the locations. The last one ends with like a montage towards the end is a montage of all of the locations that they were walking through in Vienna. Mm-hmm. And now you see them not populated by people and the life and the love that you saw during their conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And this one opens and then we see the boat and the cafe and outside Celine's apartment and the bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. They could have like ended it similarly, but to start it that way. And so it kicks off in the bookstore, Shakespeare and Company.
That's the name of the bookstore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Celine's favorite bookstore. And we catch up with our one of our main characters, Jesse Wallace, and he's now an author, doing a Q&A on his book, This Time, which is... It's very Matrix 4, right? He did the video game.
Yeah, he did the video game. Yeah, and then this one he did the book.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much just a retelling of the first movie.
From his perspective.
From his point of view, yeah.
Which becomes a point of discussion.
Yes.
later on. Actually, I didn't even mention the song that's playing during the opening montage of the locations is Julie Delpy singing, I'm assuming, in character as Celine, because it's kind of about that their night together.
Mm-hmm.
So we do start with her version of the art that she created from her memory of that magical evening.
Interesting.
And then we go into the Q&A.
That's a fun fact. I wouldn't have guessed that, but that's like a real nice detail.
Yeah, I actually didn't put it together until this viewing that she's singing in character. Like, and that song is also about Jesse, because you get, of course, the song at the end.
Mm-hmm.
What is time? We're going all over the place with this one. It's fine. I like how having Jesse write the book about the movie allows for the writers to reflect on their process of making the movie and doing the sequel. Like, there's a question about the ambiguous ending.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is where they insert the flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the only flashbacks too.
Yeah, we get them right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm usually not a fan of sequels doing the flashbacks, but I feel like it's different here because...
It works at the moment that they look at each other, or when he's like...
It's like a magic trick.
Yeah.
When it cuts from Celine to the new Celine.
Yeah, when he gets asked a question about whether or not they...
ever see each other again.
Ever see each other again. And then he starts talking, and then that's when the flashback happens, and then she pops up to like his side, and he doesn't even notice her yet. Yeah. And then her flashback of him happens. Yeah.
Yeah, I like how the flashbacks here aren't so much let's remind the audience what happened. Mm-hmm. It does that, but it's more this is what these memories mean to these characters.
Yeah.
And you need to establish that to move forward.
Yeah. Like, after not seeing someone for a long time, you look at them and you're just like, wow, you look different. Like, the picture I have in my head is still young you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with the question about the ending, this gives them the opportunity to, like, talk about a couple different options, right? Because I wasn't fortunate enough to see this movie the first one in 94 when it came out, when you didn't know there was going to be another one.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if they're going to get together.
Yeah.
Jesse says it's like a test. Are you a cynic or a romantic?
Yeah. So, okay. So, when you watched the first one, were you a cynic or a romantic?
Well, I had only seen this after I'd first heard of this series when Before Midnight was released and I was reading about it.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't get to have that experience.
Okay.
I knew that they got together.
Right.
I didn't know the circumstances. So when this movie starts, I like that we catch up with the characters not having seen each other. Their memory is also frozen, like the movie was frozen in time. Mm-hmm. They didn't develop a relationship outside of their memory of their evening together that we witnessed.
Yeah.
It would have been way different if there was more in between that we didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
I should mention there's that scene I showed you from Richard Linklater's weird movie, Waking Life. It's like about dreams. And there's a scene that's, I guess, like Celine's dream with their characters make an appearance. It's canon.
Mm-hmm. So it's a dream.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's dreaming of them together. And also it's like a follow-up to some of the discussions in the...
In the
Before
first one.
Sunrise. Yeah.
I think I would have been a romantic when I think about it and like how I would like picture it to happen that they did meet six
they
months.
They have to, right?
Later, yeah. Like,
but they didn't exchange information.
They did not. They really like left it up to fate in the purest way, in the most chaotic way. And we learned that that did not work out in their interests at all. He cuts his book interview short, or it's at the end because he has to get going to catch his plane.
Yeah, the last question, though, about his next book. Mm-hmm. He wants it all to take place in a pop song.
Mm.
The entire book.
Mm-hmm.
So with the previous questions being like an opportunity for the filmmakers to reflect on the last movie, this question kind of sets up like, what is this one going to be? In a way.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesse's idea is that he wants a whole novel set in the length of a pop song.
Yeah.
Or something. And it's about...
These moments that are happening at the same time.
Yeah. And it's a man being young and romantic and then having everything when he's older, but a wife and a kid that he doesn't like and he hates his life.
Yeah.
Which is... Where Jesse is in
pretty
his
much
life,
where he is,
and also which is what Before Sunrise, before I'm gonna keep messing it up,
Before Sunset,
yeah. I guess sunset does come after sunrise, but Before Sunrise is a moment, like it's only 80 minutes, it's just that moment, it's like a couple moments, but it's like it's that pop song, right? I'm in love with you, but I'm with this other person. Are we going to be together?
Mm-hmm.
That's what love songs are made of. Actually, it might just be that Nina Simone song from the end.
From the end?
Yeah.
Do you know which one that is? You know the name of that song?
In Time, I think.
In Time. Oh, he named it after the Nina Simone song?
The book was This Time.
Okay.
Just in Time is the Nina Simone track. Yeah. So he's got to catch a plane. gets the driver's number because mm-hmm. he wants to walk around with Celine. Because
so we have another time limit set.
Where yeah, ticking clock.
Yeah, ticking clock.
It adds a lot of tension, mm-hmm. and lets the movie stay in real time.
So very early on in their conversation together, Celine admits that she did not show up, but she all this time she didn't know whether he showed up or not. And so he's like, "No, I didn't come. That would have been crazy." Like, but then as they talk some more, he reveals that actually he did in fact show up. And was left standing.
He's a hopeless romantic.
Yeah, he's a hopeless romantic.
What's tragic is she was too. She really yeah. wanted to show up. Mm-hmm. Sadly, her grandmother died, or coincidentally, her grandmother's funeral was on that same day they were going to meet.
Yeah.
They didn't exchange numbers. They just said, December 16th, meet me here.
Yeah.
And it was interesting rewatching the first one, seeing how big of a presence her grandmother has through that story. She was visiting her grandmother in Budapest, and then she constantly talks about that. And there's this scene in the first one with Jesse talking about the memory, or his grandmother had died and he saw a ghost mm-hmm. when he was like 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And his parents told him, explained death to him, but he knew what he saw. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of this one, you get like an insert shot of, I'm guessing, Julie Delpy and her grandmother mm-hmm. as Celine and her grandmother. Mm-hmm. It's just like love and family and time, and how does this all work? I don't know how to talk about this. I hope you're enjoying this, listener. I hope we can get this enjoyable. I like when their conversation takes off. Mm-hmm. They go around the corner, and then you get, because we are in Paris, the streets of Paris, the accordion player. Mm-hmm. It's just like, all right, we're going.
Yeah. So it took him 3 to 4 years to write this book about one night. And that's pretty much what he's been doing with his life, being a husband, a father, and an author. And she has been working for the Green Cross.
Yeah, like
Green, a Red Cross.
Essentially Greenpeace, but I guess didn't want to mm-hmm. use Greenpeace. Mm-hmm. Or is a Green Cross a thing? Maybe it's a thing in Europe.
Maybe it is a thing. I'm not sure.
But yeah, we see that she, from the first one, she was definitely an idealist and very politically minded, and we see that she pursued that professionally. Mm-hmm. We get to see that Jesse is still just an idealist. Mm-hmm. He really respects her, but is so naive, and they have this little argument about like
the world
better. Is better than it's ever been, and she freaks out.
She's like, no, it's not. It's actually terrible. I've seen it. Like, I've been to these places, and it's fucking bad. He's just like, no. There, like, I know there's a lot of bad. But
what was it? Like 100,000 people die a year of preventable water diseases.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that number has grown.
Oh gosh, I'm sure.
We also learned that Celine lived in New York, mm-hmm. from 96 to 99,
which happened to be when Jesse, who's from Texas, but he was in New York for a little.
So there's this thing happening where they're very close to each other. And in fact, may have crossed paths. One of them may have spotted one of them.
There's like palpable sadness in that interaction. You can see it on both of their faces. Just they're just crushed that they didn't run into each other while they were in New York.
Yeah.
We get this whole story about how she was scared. In New York.
Did we say it's been 9 years? Because it's been 9 years.
Yeah, it's been 9 years. I think we did.
Okay.
I don't know. What is time? I just like that.
A loop?
You know how sequels often like will just rehash the good stuff from the first one? Mm-hmm. The good stuff from the first one in this case is Julie Delpy's hilarious American accent. Because mm-hmm. she does like... Everyone in America is like, hi, how are you?
I'm great. We're great.
That is my impression of a French woman's American mm-hmm. impression. Mm-hmm.
She also does a good cop.
Oh, yeah. She felt unsafe and what, she heard a noise or something, and yeah.
She called the cops,
and he pulls a gun. It was a man and a woman. The woman leaves, and the man pulls out his in her face and says, yeah. "You're going to need one of these because one day it'll be in your face."
Yeah, that felt very American. That felt very honest. That felt very real. Like once the woman cop leaves, and then he's left with the woman, and it becomes like this like intimidation factor, this fear thing to get her to get a gun. In America.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting how...
And how she had to, like... She tried to file a complaint, and then it was just too much paperwork. Like, it was too much...
Well, she got nervous about her student visa.
Yeah, and, like, dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the way, like, they leave that story is, she says, and I moved back here, and I forgot all about it. And then she says, well, I guess I didn't forget all about it. Mm-hmm. And we see it was, like, that's... The memory that she associates with her time in America.
Yeah.
And she wants to say she forgot about it, but you'll never forget about memories that are linked to strong emotions,
mm-hmm.
which applies to their night together nine years ago.
Mm-hmm. So they have this really long conversation.
That's the movie. That's the film.
And it's it entails, they talk about religion, depression, and sex.
Yeah.
Those are, like, the three topics that I could, like, really, like, that really, like, stuck to me.
Hmm. We learn about, Celine talks about the experience of reading Jesse's book, what it's like to read someone's recollection of a night that you had, and it's different in her memory.
Mm-hmm.
And she asks about the ending. And he says that he actually, or she says, why didn't you include the ending where you show up to Vienna and that French bitch didn't show up?
Mm-hmm.
And he says he actually did write this whole ending about how they got together again. And they met in Vienna and had sex, wild sex for 10 straight days. Yeah. And then
found out that they had nothing in common. And then it fizzled out.
Yeah. And she says she likes that. It was more realistic. And he says, yeah, my editor made me cut it.
Yeah.
So it's the movie, which is a fantasy, acknowledging that we, the audience, prefer the fantasy.
Yeah.
I'm happy with where this one ends.
Mm-hmm. So
in that conversation...
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is where the sex came up. Celine talks about her dating life a little bit, and she's dissatisfied with the low libido of French men, which isn't something I was familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with, well, you know, children learn things about cultures in interesting ways, which would be sometimes harmful. Pepe Le Pew is just my reference point.
Oh, for French.
And they're horny.
They're horny.
So I just always thought it's horny Frenchmen.
And romance.
And a little like
Paris,
stinky,
France.
But like...
Yeah.
But like the cheese, it's a good stink.
Mm-hmm. I guess being romantic and love is different from just, you know, sex.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesse... You were going to say, okay, Jesse is regretful,
yeah.
And he actually used the book to find her. I guess enough time had passed where he just like really wanted to find her. He admits that like he never stopped thinking about her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked.
Mm-hmm. He also admits that he's not happy in his marriage. And he thought about her even on the day of his wedding, like going there.
Oh, you're on the boat already.
Am I?
Yeah. You're far down.
Yeah, let's take it back. Go ahead.
Can we go back to the cafe?
Yeah,
for
go
a
back.
Sec?
Let's go back to the All cafe. Right.
Cigarette acting. We got to talk about this.
Okay.
He's talking about how he was a drummer in a band. And she lights up. She's a musician. She finds that attractive. But for him, it's him reliving his glory days of being young. She pulls out a cigarette and, like, he sees it and acknowledges it. And he has this air of being it. This is the top review on Letterboxd actually is a breakdown of the scene, so I can't get it out of my head every time I watch it. But like this person just was like, yeah, I'm a ex-smoker, so I recognize this in his character.
Mm-hmm.
Because he first asked for a drag of her cigarette,
mm-hmm.
and he takes it. And like him talking about his glory days in the old past and him now being like a married man and having a strict sense of responsibility, and,
mm-hmm.
But he's letting loose in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Gets a drag, then he asks for a whole cigarette. Yeah. And then, of course, she had a lighter, but of course, he lights his cigarette from hers.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the poetry of that. I like the excuse to have the streets of Paris relatively empty, because Celine mentions that it's sales day, which is apparently a twice a year event where everyone's going shopping.
Yeah, everything's on sale.
And so that lets all the touristy streets be pretty empty. There's like five extras. The mm-hmm. way the background is used is, I guess just the blocking is very well considered.
Mm-hmm.
For example, now I'm going even further back, in the part where she's asking if he ever went to Vienna, mm-hmm. if he went back 6 months later, they're like walking, but then they stop to have that moment. It's mm-hmm. like when they stop, it like really punctuates the moments in their conversation. Mm-hmm. And then later in the park, they begin that walk through the park talking about memory, because she says she didn't remember that they had sex.
I didn't remember they had sex.
They had sex in the park. We didn't see it.
Okay.
Actually, once she admits that they did have sex, uh-huh. her recollection of their moment is exactly what we saw. She says, yeah, we were in the park with the wine and we were looking up at the stars, mm-hmm. and made love, and then it dissolved into the sunrise,
mm.
which is the movie.
Yeah.
They're looking at the stars, and the film, that's the edit, that's the cut. It's a dissolve into sunrise,
right?
Which is interesting.
I thought that was pretty cool to like clue us into what actually happened, because what was said was they wouldn't have sex because she didn't just want to be a one-night stand type of situation. Like, you came to Paris.
Yeah, but then she says, I changed my mind. Mm. That's when they do it.
Mm.
and then later she says, of course I remembered we had sex. We had sex twice, you moron.
Yeah, they had sex twice.
Because, of course, like, a guy would have a night with a woman and just think of it as one time he had sex.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had intercourse twice, that's, yeah.
All right.
I don't know. There is a very, like, guys are like this, girls are like this thing happening mm-hmm. in this trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Just a criticism.
Yeah.
Richard Linklater is a straight white man, and that comes through in all of his pictures.
Yeah, like when they're talking about sex and what and how it's easier to please men and how, you know,
yeah.
unhappy
very,
women are.
Very heteronormative.
Yeah, and how men are gender binary, sensitive or like insecure, that when they're told ways to be better lovers, they take it as offense.
Yeah, which are keen observations, but mm-hmm. also ignore the existence of a lot of people on this world,
mm-hmm.
which...
I mean, he talks about that narrow keyhole view, right? At the mm-hmm. very beginning of the picture. So that's all they have is just like...
That's true.
The very narrow view of the world from their perspective and their experience and the people that they're talking about.
I like to hear you defend it because...
Oh.
No, it's nice because it's something I've thought about a lot.
Right. The very beginning of this picture is really captivating to me. Just like the conversation that they're having about perspective and about love and about time and about all these moments happening mm-hmm. at once and being there and being here and what does it all mean is really interesting.
So in their discussion of God and what is meaning, mm-hmm. Celine doesn't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't believe in magic, but she does want there to be some magic in the world. And mm-hmm. and then... It does this. The script does this great way of just weaving, like, just so well between like big picture discussion and then them talking about their interpersonal relationship. Mm-hmm. She says, "So what about us? If this was Or so Jesse says, there's magic in the world. You have to live every day. You have to live in the present. You have to say, what do I want? You got to go for it and do it. And then she says, so what about us? And there's that pause. And then he says, what do you mean? And she says, if this were the last day, what do we do?
And as a man.
And yeah, she says, do we keep talking about your book? And he says, no, we don't talk about the book. We don't even talk about the environment anymore.
Yeah. We get a hotel room.
Yeah.
We
keep having this discussion about memory and finding meaning, but we do it in between sessions of wild sex.
Yes.
Which is definitely what happens after we fade to black. Is 10 straight days of wild sex.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like it's the end of the world. And then he does this thing, and she says, why wait for the hotel? Why not right here in the park? Mm-hmm. It's the last day. And so he, like, grabs her hand, and it's this very romantic moment, and they're both in the fantasy, but then there's a guy walking by that, like, brings them back to reality.
Yeah. And she's just like, no.
And then back to what I was saying with the extras, they get up from that bench and start walking, and then their discussion shifts into their present lives of his wife and her relationship with this war photographer who's never home. That's when a jogger comes by and runs so fast in the same direction as them, but right past them. And it's like right after she mentions once again that he has a plane to catch and his wife at home. And it's like, oh no, we're going back. We're being carried into the next moment. And they get on a boat.
Yeah, he has like 15 minutes.
15 minutes left, so Ethan Hawke does nervous so well. And different kinds. Like in the first one, he's just nervous because he wants her.
It's like in the first one when he has to convince her to get off the train with him. And so he has
saying, you're an old woman having this dream.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have that regret. What would have happened?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, on this boat ride, it comes up again. She says, we're not real, right? We're just the characters in that old woman's dream.
Yeah.
And so he's acting all nervous because he can just tell
time is running out.
Time is running out, and he's there. He wrote the book. It all came together. Yeah, they're having this afternoon, but he has this damn plane to catch. And he's got a wife and a kid at home. He needs to see. Is there something, or was it just that night?
Right.
So they're on that boat and just staring into each other's eyes. And Celine's shirt with this big slit in the back is blowing in the wind, and it's kind of sexy. And he says this is where he admits that he was all leading up to his wedding. He was thinking of her, and he could have sworn he saw her at a deli on 13th and Broadway. She says, I lived in New York on 11th and Broadway.
Whoa! That was sick. That was sick.
On his face, he's in such pain that they're not together.
Like, he should have stopped the car, but he was probably just like, no, I'm not going to do that.
He said he'd thought he had, like, just seen her because he was constantly thinking of her.
Yeah.
But now he knows that it was her.
Yeah.
They're in this moment where they're both, like, acknowledging that they're the loves of each other's lives. They're the ones that got away.
He admits first, I would say. This is where I mentioned earlier when I got jumped ahead that he wrote the book to find her.
Yes.
And they always do this thing where they tell a truth and then they go, nah, no, that would be crazy. That'd be silly, right? And then they laugh about it. But it is the truth.
Yeah.
He wrote the book so that she would come to the cafe. Her favorite cafe, right?
Yeah. I mean,
He didn't know that, but...
But it just so happened that she goes there, she sees the picture of the author coming, and it's him. But yeah, he's more forthcoming about that. She abruptly shifts the conversation. So, tell me more about your wife. You don't really talk about that.
He said, I don't.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And I like this discussion that he got married because he had the image of who he should be, and it was this conflict between he wanted to be his best self, but it was at the expense of his honest self.
Mm-hmm.
That really spoke to me. I'm glad I'm not married, but I could see myself like fucking up and getting married. Like, I'm glad I know better.
Right. He does love his kid. In fact, his kid is the only reason why he's staying in the marriage. I'd say he's one of those people. A lot of people, they do it for the kid, you know?
Yeah. They get off the boat. There's the landscape painter that I love because he's capturing the moment in his art, just like the art. And then there's the car ride. The driver's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's time.
Yeah. But no, not yet. I can't say goodbye yet.
Yeah, he's got one more try, I guess.
Yeah, no, he has to get her in the car. At least two more.
Let's get her in the car.
Let's get her in the car. We'll take her home. We'll take her home.
In this car.
I was gonna say the way this is set up is kind of like their first car ride together in the first movie.
That trolley.
Yeah, where I actually thought the boat ride was that way. But it felt like it was in reverse. It felt like in the first one they were going somewhere, and then it felt like in this one, it was just shot in reverse.
Yeah,
you know,
they're sitting on opposite sides of each other in the car versus the trolley in the first one, and then also there's this moment on the trolley in the first one where Jesse like goes to brush Celine's hair out of her eyes, but then doesn't actually do it. Like he pulls his hand back.
Yeah.
And in this one, there's a moment where Celine goes to touch Jesse's hair and then doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And why are we even talking about this? It doesn't capture the feeling of watching that moment. What you feel, it's just so small going for someone's hair. But how do you get that to... Oh, it tugs on my heart. She has a bit of a meltdown in the car.
Yeah.
Because they got to this moment. It's like happening. They gotta like, what are we doing? So she's mad at him.
Yeah. She feels robbed. Because of her
here
romance.
You are. Here you are and you're married.
Yeah, and you're happy and like...
And I'm miserable and everyone gets married after they break up with me.
Yeah, all my exes are... So thankful for me for showing them how to love and
how to
be better men.
Women.
Yeah. And here I am just like
crying because I'm alone. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfulfilled. And,
but that's when he really admits how unhappy he is with his wife and how they don't like they argue and there's no, what does he say? There's no laughter.
Yeah.
And then Celine says, my parents argue all the time, but it always ends with laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, so I don't think it's even fair to my son for us to stay together and keep him in a house without laughter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming more real.
Yeah.
She, in her like tirade against him at one point, she wants the driver to stop the car so she can just get out. End the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Which, oof, that would have been awful if that happened.
Right, yeah.
But... It probably should have happened, right? The driver, like, she's giving the driver directions in French for him to stop. Jesse is saying, no, keep going.
Yeah.
there's not even a discussion. The driver just keeps going.
Yeah, no, the driver has this look like, oh, should I stop? Should I go? And then Jesse has the last.
He's
last
driven break. Authors around Paris before.
Yes. This is not
new. This is a dark joke, but also maybe not even a joke. There's a dynamic there.
Oh. Okay.
If I were the driver, I would listen to the woman saying, let me get out.
Yeah, and stop the car.
As a viewer, I'm glad he didn't.
Because
then we get to the apartment. The car goes through a tunnel.
I was just going to say that she... feels like she was robbed of her romance, and he feels like he left his romance in Paris.
In Vienna.
In Vienna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think is interesting that they both feel that way. Like it,
Because he was there waiting for her.
Yeah.
She wasn't allowed to be there because of the grandfather.
Yeah, it was the only romantic thing they ever truly did.
Hmm. Yeah.
In their whole life to this point, yeah.
So they get to Celine's apartment. It's through a tunnel, which is like this transition. At the end of the tunnel is a... What's that called? The arm that goes down at garages?
It's like the gate.
It's the gate.
It's the arm gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's as far as the driver can go. Yeah, it's got like the hazard painting on. It's as far as the car can go. And also, it's like this border. Like, okay, is Celine getting out alone?
Mm-hmm.
Is this where it ends?
No.
They get out of the car. They're still on the outside of the gate. Celine says, I want to try something. She hugs him because he had mentioned he had sex 4 times in the last, or 10 times in the last 4 years. Oh, yes,
the joke of...
And I would dissolve if anyone touched me.
Of you probably use your dick so much it's about to fall off.
Yeah.
The hug's a little different. It's not as angsty as it was in the first one.
Yeah, she's hugging him and she says, I wanted to see if you would... dissolve into molecules, and he says,
How am I doing?
And she says, You're still here. And he says, I like being here.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So romantic and so longing. And like, then of course, he says to the driver, I'm going to just walk her to her door.
I'm going to walk her to her door.
You're right. He does have a couple more tries.
Yeah, he has a couple more tries.
But this is really it. Because they cross the gate. It's like this visual representation of like them going on the other side into he's entering her life now, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
He meets her cat.
Yeah, her cat. Meets her.
Her life seems awesome. Wonderful apartment with like neighbors. Lovely neighbors that have parties outside.
Shout out to the grill master who looks it looks the part, really.
Like, with the French man with the big sandals, white beard, smoking a pipe.
The striped shirt, the apron. I was just like, oh wow, A plus character design right there. Even like, no matter where you are in the world, if a man is behind the grill, he's gonna have those sandals on.
It'd be Crocs now, right?
It probably, yeah.
Yeah. So they get to her door and... Her interactions with her neighbors is another part of like the other characters like having roles there more than just characters, because like they're speaking to her in French while he's trying to continue the interaction, and it's really like she's holding her cat now. She's going back into her life.
Mm-hmm.
She's left the fantasy. He's still there, but he's gonna come in.
Yeah, he's like, hey, play me a song. Yeah, you have to play me a song.
He wanted her to, when he found out she made music, he wanted her to sing in the park a cappella, but she said, I can't, not without my guitar. And he said, what do you want to do? Meet here in 6 months with the guitar? So he says, I have to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Just pick up your guitar and play me a song. And then you get that quiet, longing walk up that staircase where he's looking around, and I don't know. It's so useless to talk about it. It's just a feeling, and it's so well done, and that's part of why I say it's a film. They get into the apartment. She's like nervous to play him a song at that point. She doesn't even want to do it anymore. She puts up tea and she says, okay, I got three. One's about my cat, one's about an ex, and the other's about, well, it's a waltz. She doesn't say what it's about. He picks the waltz.
Yeah.
It's about him.
Yeah.
It's about a one night stand, and
it
how
even has his name in it.
Even has his name in it. And how for him it was just a one night stand, but for me that was the love of my life. That one night. And you got all the reaction shots of him like realizing it's about him.
It's
and
like him sinking into the sea. It's like him like narrowing his focus on her and like softening his mouth. It's like it's like that intent you get in that moment. You know that moment.
This is where he knows, he sees finally, because she was so cagey the whole day. Oh, she's as in love with me as I am with her. Because he was absolutely forthcoming with her.
Yeah.
About her being the love of his life.
Mm-hmm.
But now she sings it to him. She got to read the book, and now finally he gets to hear her song.
Yeah.
He wants to play another, but she doesn't. She gets him tea, and we don't really know where it's going, and he puts on the Nina Simone CD, and he sits back down on the couch, and she talks about seeing her perform,
mm-hmm.
and she does her Nina Simone impression, and in the Nina Simone voice says, "Baby, you're going to miss that plane." And he says, "I know."
And then it goes off. It's perfect.
It doesn't... I always remember it as like cutting right there.
Mm-hmm.
But she dances a little more. Mm-hmm. And then it fades to black. And I like that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm not catching my plane.
But that's how you end it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to it being... like, it's half an hour shorter than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Where when it's ending, you know the move. You can feel the movie coming to an end. You don't know how it's going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know he has the plane.
Yeah.
You want them. You're enjoying it so much. It's such a good film. You want to spend more time with the characters. You want him to miss that plane.
Yeah.
And then he says, "Yeah, I'm going to miss it.
I'm going to miss it.
I know."
Yeah. And as he doesn't take his eyes off her as she's dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Petting the cat.
Do you agree that it's a film?
I agree that it's a film.
Why would you say?
I would say it's a film. It's just like following a conversation. I don't know. It just feels very filmy.
Yeah. That's not a movie.
Right? It just feels very filmy. The topics that they're talking about.
Yeah.
It's just so lived in.
Yeah. Very naturalistic.
Very natural.
Yeah.
Not superficial in the slightest. I would agree that it's a film.
Cool. Hey, we somehow did it.
We did it. I think we did it.
I got you to watch them, and you love them. And that's,
I did.
And that means so much to me.
Yeah, pretty cool, because I'm not a big, like, romantic movie guy, but yeah, when it's good, it's good.
It's good.
It's good. It's good. There are things in that first one that are just like, wow. Like, it captured it. It captured, like, embraces. It captured the breath you take when you squeeze someone. It captured that kiss.
The nervousness before the kiss.
Yeah, and just like the intensity of the kiss.
I feel like him like going on the boat was kind of like him making her go on the Ferris wheel because it's romantic. I feel like he, in his mind, they were going to kiss on the boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's almost this morality thing that's happening here, because
it's that tug of reality.
He's married and she has a boyfriend, and so they are just like not, I mean, they should be together, but they just like in this very moment can't be as together as we would want them to. And I think that's really interesting to watch.
Yeah, it's such a successful sequel in that sense that they picked up with the characters and let us engage with them. And I don't have any more thoughts. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're in.
Nice.
Thank you for listening to this. I already apologized. Should we announce next week's?
Yeah, we should. All right. So our next episode is a request from a frequent guest and friend and just like member of this podcast. Anthony has requested that we do Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
And he's going to be so excited when he sees that episode appear on the feed, because I doubt he's listening to this one.
Right.
Because I haven't found a way to get him to watch these.
Neither of us have watched it, so join us on this journey to the West.
Yes, thank you to our patrons.
Mm-hmm.
We're on social @MovieFilmPod. patreon.com/moviefilmpod. This has been Movie Film Pod, otherwise known as Movie
Film.
Film.